Well, good morning, everybody. That's quite the story, isn't it? Yeah. So, look, I don't have a lot of time. I'm not here for long, so we got to get the dirt out right away. I'm only going to be here for a day, so we need to talk about Stina. The truth of the matter is there's not very much dirt to tell. She is who she appears to be. She is just an amazing wife and pastor. She's been an inspiration for me for 20 years now, and it's been a lovely, lovely time to be with her. She has dragged me forward into ministry kicking and screaming, and I think, pull her back from going too hot and flying off into the distance. And so I imagine she said we'd make a good team together, and that's true. She is amazing, and I'm very, very lucky to be here. And we're recording, right? We got that all down, so just making sure. This is cool. I didn't even realize you guys had a screen back there. This place has got it going on. I'm going to have to bring some of these ideas back to my trustees team. That would be a lot of fun. So of course, today we're working through David and Goliath. It's a classic story, even biblical, sophisticated. Even the people who aren't a part of churches tend to know the David and Goliath story. It's got sculptures. You know, was it Michelangelo, I think, has the David there. And, I mean, this is a classic story. And so even if we're not, you know, biblical sophisticates like us, we tend to know this story. The armies of Israel and of the Philistines are facing off, and over the course of 40 days, as we just heard, this guy Goliath comes out and challenges anyone of the Israel to defeat him in single combat. And in order to resolve this dispute and get on with it, and of course, nobody would face him. And no wonder, right? I mean, the guy's like 9 feet tall. He's got armored head to foot. He's carrying like a 40-pound spear, right, among other weapons or whatever. The guy's a monster, right? I mean, who would face him? And of course, David's just a boy, as we heard, and he wasn't even in the army. He was just bringing some food up and some supplies to his older brothers who were in the army. And while he was there, Goliath happened to issue the challenge that he had been giving, and David heard it. And when he heard it, something clicked for David. Something fell into place. Now, the amazing thing about this story to me is its applicability. It applies kind of across time. And I think that's why we immortalize it in art and why it becomes a story that's almost extra-biblical in a way. It becomes part of the nature of our culture and so forth. I mean, even if you've never heard the actual biblical story of David and Goliath, you know the story. You've seen it. You've participated in the pattern of David and Goliath at some point in your life, right? You may be not facing some intimidating warrior decked out in bronze armor, but you have faced other threats. You have faced seemingly impossible dangers, some daunting circumstances in your life, maybe in a big way, maybe in a small way, but the pattern, you see, still exists. And when you really think about it, this pattern is seen all the time to one degree or another in the life that we experience, which is what makes the story kind of archetypal. It sort of breaks the bonds of just this specific historical circumstance, and it becomes relevant to our life in a bigger way. There's challenges or problems at the office or at work, maybe even insurmountable projects that need to be overcome, kitchens that need to be built, right? Sports, of course, has all sorts of David and Goliath stories. There's family life that we have really difficult circumstances that need to be overcome. Health, of course, is a big one when we're struggling with a difficult diagnosis, right? There's all sorts of these potential patterns where we feel small and insignificant and we're facing something big and seemingly impossible. And that's that sort of situation, that facing of a monster like Goliath, is something that I think we do in small and in large cases all the time. But here's the thing. The more that I thought about it, the more I realized that this story really isn't just about a small thing facing a big thing or overcoming insurmountable odds. That's not just what the story is, as often as that happens. What I found just as compelling is what David does in that story before he even knew about Goliath. And that's where I think we want to take a few minutes this morning and ponder. Because when David heard the challenge from Goliath, it seemed like something clicked in him, right? There was some assurance that he felt that this challenge was his to tackle. It was his to engage in. And this problem was his to solve. And he knew how to solve it and was confident that he could, even beyond what it looked like, right? There was some degree of spiritual bracing that God seemed to grant David in that moment and gave him what might be considered an unnatural level of confidence. Regardless of how it looked, regardless of the obvious disproportion of power here, he knew he could do it. And I want to go out on a limb and say that I think we've all encountered this sort of spiritual bracing as well. Sometime in our life, and all of those circumstances that I was talking about, we've encountered things that were difficult and that we were given strength and assurance that we could handle it in those moments. And that strength and confidence doesn't necessarily make the situation any less fearful or dangerous. But nonetheless, something tells you that this task has been given to you. And you are what is needed to make and overcome it, right? And it may look amazing to the people around you who know you. It may look unbelievable. Like, who is this person? Just like Saul did with David. Like, you're just a boy. How are you going to do this? And yet, nevertheless, something tells you that that task has been given to you, and that even though you don't feel particularly courageous or feel particularly special in so doing, whatever it was that gave you this confidence that God inspired in you, you do it. You get it done. And it looks amazing to people. Whatever that Goliath may have been. That's a real thing, I think. That's a real experience that we feel of the Spirit all the time. And it doesn't happen all the time, of course, but it does happen. And I want to recognize that when it does, because it follows this David and Goliath pattern. And I would argue that it's one of those moments where we feel God's presence even most deeply in our lives, because often the situation, it doesn't make any rational sense. Why would we build a kitchen? You know? I mean, we would. I mean, but it's the Goliath that needs to get down. David facing Goliath is kind of ridiculous. And on the face of it, this giant warrior versus a boy shepherd. But then again, here, okay, let's go one more deeper. I was told not to move very much. There's some kind of camera trick. Okay, come back. All right. Just wanted to make sure you're on your toes back there. So the more that I thought about it, the more it turns out it's not completely ridiculous for David to go against Goliath, because being a shepherd was no joke at that time. Right? Most of the time you were out alone, out in the wilderness, protecting the sheep. There were threats, there were predators, and that would just as soon eat you as your flock, right? So in the story, David even says this, right? We just read this, because King Saul's not inclined to allow David to go face Goliath. Because if they lose, there's a cost. There's a consequence, right? But David assures him, look, I've faced lions, I've faced bears, and I've killed them when I was protecting my sheep, right? Which means that he must have been pretty dang good shot with that sling, right? And that leads us to the second point. It's not always obvious how God is preparing us to face our Goliaths, because we don't often know what our Goliaths are going to be, right, in that bigger pattern. And so the story of David teaches us in some way that too, in a little less obvious way. Okay, being a shepherd was not particularly glamorous. I think we could all agree on that. It was dangerous and lonely work. But to put it bluntly, you weren't often assigned to be the shepherd if you had a lot of worth to the people around you. You were You were the youngest. You were the one that, the disposable one in some respect. And that's tough. It was usually the low job on the list, but David took that on. He had to have practiced with that sling. He had to have practiced. He had to have worked on it and worked on it to get really good with that sling. And when the bears and the lions threatened his flock, he didn't run or sacrifice a sheep or two so that he could be safe. He faced them. He went out and took that down. Think about how much practice you would have to do with a sling to be confident enough to go face a bear with it. How many rocks have you chucked against a tree? How many hours have you spent grinding away so that you feel good enough to go face a lion coming at you? I mean, those old school slings, they're no joke. You can get a rock going pretty quick, but it's still a rock. Have you seen lions? They're terrifying. How many hours, how many calluses did David build up with that stupid sling to be able to feel confident enough? And how much time, how many times did he have to drum up the courage to go out there and face down what was threatening his flock? Because that's not easy either. He practiced facing those fears out in the wilderness with his sheep, and he overcame them. Nobody gave him a trophy for slaying the lions and saving his sheep. Nobody even saw it. He was assigned a task, a menial, dangerous, unremarkable task, a praiseless task, and he focused on it, and he practiced, and he worked, and he faced the threats inherent in that job instead of running away or slacking it off. And when the day came when he brought those supplies to the army and to his brothers and he heard Goliath's challenge, something clicked. I'm the one. I'm going to take him down. He's just a big bear, and Israel are my sheep. Hold my beer. Can I say that? Is that real? Am I not allowed to say that? I know there's former pastors in here. So how is God preparing you? How is God preparing you? Because I believe if we're alive and we're kicking, we still have Goliaths to face. Meaningful challenges to overcome. Significant burdens to lift and responsibilities that need to be carried out. And they have been given to you. And it's not obvious what opportunities will manifest out of the work that we take on, right? Whether you're a big muckety-muck with many responsibilities, or you have very few and your world is very small, maybe just your room, right? Maybe just your own personal health right now. It doesn't matter. God uses shepherds. God uses kings. Wherever you are, God is preparing you for something. And are you doing everything you can to take advantage of that, to make the best out of where you are? Even if all you have is that little sling out in the wilderness protecting a little flock of sheep, whatever corner of the world God has given for you to care for, whether it's that flock of sheep or a business or a garden or a house or children or grandchildren or a church, right? Or maybe just your room and just your health and the care of your body. Whatever God has given us, whatever we are responsible for, no matter how large or small, are we caring for it and doing everything we possibly can to make it the best possible that we can make it? Because it doesn't matter whether the world thinks the work is important. It doesn't matter if anyone ever sees that that work is being done or appreciates you for it. It's important to God, and it's important to you, because I believe it's what's training you for your next Goliath, right? I don't want to minimize that. That's a real hang-up for people. I should be more important, right? Have you ever felt that way? My work is inconsequential. It can be a real pit. right? I should have gotten that raise. I should have been the one in charge. I feel like my life isn't really amounting to what I think it ought to. I feel like I had more to give and I didn't have that opportunity, right? I mean, think about that for a second. Whatever you think it should have been, when we recognize or get reminded that we're not stuck in some lowly shepherd-like spot, what are we going to do? Stew in resentment about our lot in life? Be vengeful and angry and thrash around because we've been sent out to be a shepherd? When we know, we just know, deep down inside, we should be the king? David could have done that. He could have just sat around, not practicing the sling, not facing the bears, stewing his way, time away, moping about, wishing he was the king, and being a garbage shepherd, right? And when the day came that he hears Goliath's challenge, maybe something doesn't click, right? Or maybe he misses with that sling. And then he wouldn't be king, because this is the event that catapults his career, right, so to speak. But do you see how strange that is? Do you see the disconnect? What does flinging stones with a sling out in the wilderness have to do with becoming king? Who would ever make that connection? Nobody, right? What are rocks? You could chuck rocks all day and think to yourself, well, I'm going to be king someday if I just get better with a sling. No. Nobody's making that connection. Only God knows what your everyday work and practice will lead to. If he doesn't work hard as a shepherd, do you think he would have heard Goliath's challenge and heard that click? The opportunity would have just floated past him. He would have never been aware of it. There's no way I'm going out there. Right? Only God knows what Goliaths you'll take down because you did everything you could to make sure what? The paperwork was filled out right. Right? Or the garden was weeded. Or the kids got a good breakfast every morning. Or you did your physical therapy. I think this is what Jesus is getting at when he says to pick up our cross and get on with it. You have been assigned a task, an important responsibility in your life. And we can take that up, just like David did, and start chucking stones and working, because we don't know what opportunities are going to manifest out of that. And when they come, and they're coming, we need to be ready. Amen? All right. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here with you this morning. This is beautiful. And thank you for that lovely welcome that you gave me, too. I appreciate that so much. So, and thank you for this band team. You guys want to come out to Delano? You're only here once a month, right? You got 3 other weeks. Thank you.